Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
There's a drive hit to right center field and deep. Way back by the bullpen and gone. Into the bleachers, a home run for Jay Bruce.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Mariners.
Swinging a hard shot to second, grab by D. Gordon. He throws to first and the ball game is over. The Red Sox leave the tying run in scoring position. And they lose 3-4 to the Seattle Mariners in the season opening series.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
Well, that beginning was kind of like Rick Porcello's start today, or the Red Sox starting pitching so far. Couldn't find the open there. All right, John Ryder with you, Red Sox Review. I was wondering, I can't hear anything. All right, now we're good to go. All right, kind of like the Red Sox star. 1-3 now. Who would have thunk it? All right, take you up until 10 o'clock after this disaster. Yeah, the Red Sox made it interesting late like they have so far this season, or at least the last three games anyway. But now 1-3 on the season. Porcello dreadful today as gives up four earned runs, but nine runs altogether over 2 2/3. And the Red Sox fall to the Mariners, who have been hitting the cover off the ball here to start the season, including those two games in Japan a couple of weeks ago, as they end up beating the Red Sox 10-8. John Ryder, Red Sox Review, taking your calls at 617-779-7937. You can text us as well at 37937. So starting pitching right now, well, wow. Four games so far, starting pitchers have allowed 22 earned runs over 15 innings. That's a 13.20 ERA. And looking at Alex Speer on Twitter, according to Baseball Reference, the Red Sox, the 12th team since 1908, first since 2006, to have four straight starts of five or more runs allowed to open the season. So, really rough one today. I actually thought they were going to tie it here in the ninth. Especially given the way Cody Guerin was going. If he's not an advertisement or a meaning for a pitch clock in Major League Baseball, I don't know who is. I mean, he couldn't get up over the plate and actually got the benefit of a couple of strike calls there. But Martinez with the walk, Xander Bogaerts would fly up, and Benintendi pinch hitting for Sam Travis would end up walking. Moreland walked. Swihart walked when Jason Bradford came in. And Swihart pinch hitting for Eduardo Nunez there. Actually, that called strike on 3-1, that could have been ball four, but he ended up walking. But I really thought the Red Sox were going to tie it, just the way things have been going for the Red Sox, at least offensively there in the ninth inning. But wasn't the case. Christian Vasquez would strike out Jackie Bradley Jr., grounds out to end it. The Red Sox fall to the Mariners by a count of 10-8. So 34 runs in four games so far. So going over this, I mean, Chris Sale, who saw that coming off the big contract where his velocity was down around 91, 92. A rough start from Nathan Eovaldi, as he's the second starter on this team. And then Eduardo Rodriguez, which we saw at points last year, kind of up and down, but that was a miserable start as well. And then Porcello, I expected a solid start from Porcello today, but that obviously wasn't the case. He had that clean first inning and then gives up the two. I mean, that's also so troubling as well. When you get that three spot on the board in the first inning right away, get the offense going. And the Mariners, it appeared, were just trying to give this game away. You knew they were going to get to Wade LeBlanc eventually. LeBlanc actually was a guy that did it with mirrors against them last season. And this Mariners team, I don't expect them to come out of the West. They're 5-1. They've made wholesale changes. They do have some offense, and we've seen some thump here, especially in this four-game series against the Red Sox, but I don't expect them to vie for the AL West. I think that's clearly the Astros division, no question about it, although how about Tampa Bay taking three out of four from Houston here to start the season? I mean, is there a chance, and we're so early, and of course, this stands out so much more because it's the first four games of the season. If this was, I mean, raise some eyebrows, obviously, with the starting pitching, if this was the case, say, at some point in July. But this is always the case, more of a looking at these games with a magnifying glass. You know, they get blown out of proportion at points, but still troubling. I mean, they got to get this starting rotation in shape. I mean, it has to be better than this, and it will get better than this. And now they're counting on David Price to be the stopper tomorrow night in Oakland as they begin a four-game series there. I mean, this is a kind of a brutal stretch to start the season. So they don't have an off day for 11 days to start on. 11-day, 11-game road trip. They got the four at Seattle, which they just finished up in horrific fashion. Four at Oakland. Oakland overachieved last season. I don't see it this season. And then they wrap things up with three at Arizona before returning home. Some news today. Dustin Pedroia will begin a rehab stint at Greenville Single A. We'll see if he's ready for the home opener coming up against Toronto on Tuesday. I'm sure he'll be there in attendance as they get their rings and celebrate last year's World Series championship. But is there a chance this team, I mean, we're talking so early, and I still expect them to be a playoff team, definitely a wild card team, but say the Rays overachieve. Say the Rays get 95 wins this season. What, they have 90 last season? Which they very well could do with that very good young team. And they have the best farm system in all of Major League Baseball, according to all reports. But say the Rays get 95 wins, and the Yankees end up getting 100. The Red Sox get 90 wins, and then in that awful Central, say Cleveland takes it. Minnesota's a wild card team. I think Minnesota will be better this season. And Houston takes the West, and the Red Sox are on the outside looking in. Do you see that as a possibility this season for the Red Sox? I still think they're going to be one of the wild card teams, or if not win the division for a fourth straight year. But obviously, this is a rough start, and they get off. I mean, look, I don't think anyone expected. I don't expect 108 wins this season. Will this team reach 100 wins this season? They certainly have the talent to do it. And plenty of question marks going forward. We know going forward this won't be the same team again next year. I mean, it seems crazy I'm saying this as we're sitting here not even into April yet, on the final day of March. But seven runs in the third inning for Porcello. The walks were what was really glaring, because Porcello's usually a guy that doesn't walk too many people. In fact, the four walks equals the most he's given up since he's joined the Red Sox. So 617-779-7937. You can text us as well at 37937. John Ryder with your Red Sox review. We take you up until 10. Certainly, mostly Red Sox conversation, taking Red Sox calls, but I'll get into the Celtics as well. And they've been frustrating, clearly, this season. That's a team, they're going to get 50 wins. I mean, that was a team that I expected to be the top team in the East. Certainly, Milwaukee's overachieved. We'll get into the Celtics. I'll get into the Celtics after that big win over the Pacers with Kyrie Irving getting the game winner. Then he sits out. Last night, they said it was a back injury, but for rest, really, on the second night of a back-to-back. And you get into Kyrie and the Celtics and the Patriots and everything else. And in fact, I think the Bruins have overachieved this season, get into that as well. So really everything on the table, but clearly Red Sox talk first. It is Red Sox Review. Happy to be with you here for Red Sox Review on WEI at 617-779-7937. Also, the Final Four is set. We can get into that as well. Michigan State upsetting Duke. So it's Michigan State versus Texas Tech and Virginia against Auburn. The Final Four is set for next week, and we can get into that as well. Let's get to a phone call here before the break. Here's Blair in Maine. Hey, Blair.
What's going on, John Ryder? How are you doing, man?
I'm good, Blair. How are you?
I'm so glad Duke lost. Oh, finally. Give me a breath. Oh.
Well, I thought they were going to be the team that was winning it all this season. Now I think it's going to be Michigan State after knockout. I think it's going to be Michigan State against Virginia in the final. That's Auburn's very good team.
It could be Auburn and Michigan State.
Well, it could be any of the four. That's why they call it the Final Four. But my pick is Michigan State against Virginia, with Michigan State taking it all with their experience. Virginia has plenty of experience, too. But
let's talk about the Red Sox, though. Fifth place. We got a long way to go, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to finish fifth. I have a feeling they'll finish ahead of the Orioles and the Blue Jays.
I sure hope so. Isn't the Orioles like the worst team like in baseball the last couple of years?
Yeah, they're horrific. They're terrible. But they just went final in the Bronx. They beat the Yankees 7-5.
Wow.
Jay Happ didn't pitch well.
Oh, the Yankees! They got beat by the Orioles.
Incredible. I like the enthusiasm, Blair. Yes, it's incredible. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Blair. Here's Phil in Mendon. Hey, Phil. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good, Phil.
Well, we could be better, John, but, I'm looking at the whole situation. You don't have Kelly or Kimball.
Well, the bullpen hasn't been the issue so far.
Right.
I expect that to crop up at some point, though.
Exactly. But I agree with you. It's not the bullpen, but at this point, the starting pitcher. The problem is I know it's early in the season, you mentioned on the radio, but the thing is the luxury tax, and we can see that Dombrowski probably spoke with John Henry in the higher echelon, and they don't want to go over there, unfortunately. So you're kind of stuck there, and that's the problem. And again, if we're going to do anything, it's, maybe the farm system for us, or I don't see.
Well, or a trade, potentially.
By the way,
this year is interesting. There's only one trade deadline, July 31st. There's no waivers.
Right.
It's this year they've implemented just one trade deadline.
Right, exactly. But, your trade is going to be salary for salary, and, again, it's going to be very difficult. But when you don't have the same pieces, and it's that throughout baseball, and I know it. But unfortunately for the Red Sox, I think when the heat comes in, the dog days of summer, and you don't, the relief pitch is fine. I just never expected that the Porcello, you got to be kidding me. He had the individual today, 0-2. He strikes him out where, those three runs go off the board. Instead, what's he do? He walks the individual and opens the, the floodgates. And same with the other pitching, Sale. I mean, he signed that four-year deal and $145 million and all that. And again, the velocity had me concerned. Erod, again, it's, ups and downs with him. They always say a breakout season, but I don't see us, over 100 victories this year, like you said. Hopefully 90, but Tampa Bay, over the years.
Yeah, I mean, 95 might be a stretch, but look, they did win 90 last year. But yeah, that you thought that third inning, obviously that was what killed it for the Red Sox there. He almost wiggled out of there. I mean,
doesn't count.
Yeah, right. True. That's true. True. I thought he was going to wiggle out of it there
right.
for a second. But yeah, the walks really hurt him there. And then obviously you have the big 3-run homer, and you give up that 3-run homer, and all of a sudden Seattle takes the lead. At that point, after that 3-run homer. So I do have concerns still about the bullpen. Long-term, I'm more concerned about the bullpen than the starters, even though the
right.
bullpen's been terrific so far throughout the first four games for the most part. But this approach, closer by committee, maybe Barnes emerges as that guy and obviously pitched well the other night after the Moreland pinch-hit
right.
3-run
yeah.
homer. But that is still a loss. I mean, I know Kimbrel had his issues in the postseason and at different points of last season as well. That's still a loss. I wonder where he ends up. I mean,
well, there was a rumor that Milwaukee,
Atlanta.
Right.
Atlanta's been mentioned as well,
Atlanta,
a return there.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, John, I just hope they don't come back, like one or two wins, and I'm going in next Tuesday, of course, opening day with a flyover to the Patriots, the whole bit, and put the mood in a little bit, just hope, like last year was great, 108 victories, the World Series. So we hope.
Well, if they start off, 2-9 or something, I don't see it. But, there's a lot of pressure on them already, just 11 games into the season, if that ends up being the case. All right, Phil, appreciate the phone call. John Ryder with your Red Sox Review, taking you up until 10 o'clock after another clunker from the Red Sox in terms of the starting pitching as they fall to the Mariners 10-8. We'll get one more in before the break. Here's George and Sharon. Hey, George.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, John. The pitching troubles come from one guy, and that is Sandy Leon.
I was wondering how long it was going to take before we got that Sandy Leon phone call.
Here it is.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for a while. He's been on the team for 4 years. Every pitcher loved throwing to him. He gave them all confidence on the mound, knowing he'd give them the right idea. And now he's on AAA. Vasquez isn't the same catcher as Sandy, and it's clearly showing.
Yeah, no, I don't think. I think Leon's a better defensive catcher than both Vasquez and Swihart. They keep talking about the potential with Swihart. We'll see it this season. I mean, he's very gifted athletically, has a strong arm. But, I mean, we heard from Dana Lavangi last night and his clear frustration that Swihart and Eduardo Rodriguez didn't stick to the game plan. But, you know, these guys are experienced pitchers. Sale, Porcello. I mean, even Rodriguez is just 25 years old, but he's been in the league for long enough now, Evaldi as well, that they should be able to adapt and learn to work if that is the case. I mean, so far, I've just been seeing pitches. I mean, the velocity was down with Sale. A lot of pitchers left in the middle of the plate. Today, Porcello's slider was off. Altogether, everything was pretty much off. Obviously, his command, he walks four. And they do have the benefit, yeah. I mean, if they want to bring Leon back, they can. I mean, he got through waivers. He's at Pawtucket right now. Even if they have to bring him back up, though, he still has to clear waivers once again in order to get back on the major league roster.
That's very true.
Which will probably be the case, but, you know, will they carry three catchers? Well, I mean, Swihart was really pretty much an ultra-utility guy last year. So I wonder if that's the same role this season. But, you know, I think it's a little too early for that. I mean, could I see it potentially happen? Yeah, of course.
Too early. I'm just scared this keeps going on. It's one guy in the batting order. Put him at the eighth spot, it won't do too much damage.
And I think Vasquez has a better bat than Swihart probably. I mean, Leon had that one season a couple of years ago where he seemed to find, there was all those little bloop singles and finding a hit here and there everywhere. But clearly he's just in there for his defense. But I put it more the onus on the starting pitchers. I mean, these guys have to adapt. I just haven't seen, I mean, it's just, I mean, Sale was the most glaring. This team, if Sale struggles this season, I mean, what's amazing last year is they ended up winning 108 games with Sale being kind of up and down and on the mend quite a bit last season. So, you know, there's question marks with this Red Sox team. There's question marks, and thanks for the call, George. Appreciate it. With the Yankees, I mean, they had a rough start from Jay Happ today. Severino out right now with a shoulder issue. Will they have enough starting pitching to get it done? Interesting start to the season so far for both these teams. And obviously, we're always checking out the Red Sox. Obviously, the Red Sox, but the Yankees, it's like 1A and 1B. All right, John Ryder with you. Red Sox Review. We take you up until 10 o'clock. Take your phone call, 617-779-7937. You can text us, 37937. As the Red Sox fall to the Mariners, another rough one. Had some late chances, as they've had in the past few games here, but unable to get it done. The 7-run third inning was really what was the most glaring today in this one. And Rick Porcello's rough start, another rough start. And now they're depending on David Price tomorrow night in Oakland. We'll continue with the phone calls. Tom in Somerville, you're up next. Room for you, 617-779-7937. It's John Ryder, Red Sox Review, up until 10 o'clock here on WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
A lot of pitches in the middle of the zone. The slider to Narvaez. He started off well, and then they start making adjustments. They got a fastball, first pitch, right in the middle. Hit a line drive with a shortstop, and then it just kept rolling. The whole weekend was that way. You know, they start swinging the bats well, and we didn't stop them until it was too late, and then the bullpen did a good job.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora talking, summing it up, really, and summing up the start from Rick Porcello, especially that third inning. I mean, it had the auspicious start as well when J.D. Martinez dropped a routine fly ball. Of course, he was out there today because Andrew Benintendi had fouled a pitch off the kneecap, although he did pinch hit in the ninth, wasn't in there, and then got Santana to fly out, but then a walk, and then all of a sudden the Omar Narvaez, the catcher, who's not known for his power, but has two home runs already, and that was absolute no doubter, that three-run shot, and all of a sudden 3-2 lead evaporates, it's 5-3, and then they pile on some more, as well. Walks hurt Porcello in the long ball in that inning, and then and Johnson came in and gave up a double to Mitch Haniger, and all of a sudden it's 9-3 Seattle, and they go on to beat the Red Sox 10-8 today in Seattle as they take 3 out of 4 in the series, and the Red Sox are off to a 1-3 start this season. John Ryder, Red Sox Review, taking up until 10 o'clock, talking about the Red Sox and their struggles to start off so far. Clearly, they could be, I mean, they're not, but they could be 0-4. I mean, if it's not for that, which we saw so many heroics, obviously, last year, and when you win 108 games, you're going to see plenty of drama, and we did last season. I mean, there were so many walk-offs. They had, what, 10 grand slams, I believe, last season, this Red Sox team, and route to 108 wins in the World Series championship. And it's tough to win back-to-back. I mean, it hasn't happened since, what, the Yankees, 99-2000? That's the last time, so it's been just about 20 years. All right, we'll continue with your phone calls here on the Red Sox and their 1-3 start at 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, and I'll get to some of those at 37937. Also, before we make our way out of here at 10 o'clock, we'll hear more and expanded bulk version of what Alex Cora had to say after the game. Also hear from Rick Porcello and some other notables, but we'd love to hear from you, and that's what we'll do right now as we return to the calls. And here's Tom in Somerville. Hey, Tom, thanks for holding on.
Hey, pal, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Not too bad. So I haven't been listening for too long because I was watching Halak give up 2 goals and I had to run some errands. I couldn't handle too much. So I caught on late, and you talk about, you know, and Porcello and Eovaldi and all these guys in the bullpen, but the problem is it's not a guy like Sandy Leon making $2.5 million a year. If these pitchers who are making what they make can't put the ball where it needs to be, it doesn't matter who's catching for them.
I was just saying, too, and we haven't been on too long, I put more onus on the starting pitching. I mean, they have to get the job done. And I'm very curious to see how Chris Sale does in his next outing. In fact, at this point, all four pitchers, and I'm curious to see how David Price goes tomorrow night, if he continues the trend or he bucks it. I mean, of all people, and he had his ups and downs, especially his downs in the first half of last year. So we'll see if that continues. But, yeah, I put it more on, I mean, Chris Sale, 7 runs over 3 innings. I mean, as great as this offense is, and they'll need guys like J.D. Martinez, and he's been off to a terrific start, Mookie Betts, who hit the home run late, which snapped an 0-for-8, which was a good sign. Yeah, but to me, if you're going to win the division, you're going to need a solid and healthy and dominant Chris Sale.
No, I understand that, but you have a guy that is consistently 92-93 when he used to be 96-97. He's had 5 months off. I don't think that 96-97 is coming back. So if he's going to hang a slider or a changeup that's going to go for 450 feet, we have a problem. And if you look at other things where if he only goes 3 or 4 or 5 innings, and you have to get a bullpen that's unproven, how much do they have to put into his starts, and how much will they have left for the other guys when they're pitching and if they're not throwing well? The season is not over. We're going to go to the playoffs. The problem is, what's going to happen when we get there, and how do we get there?
Yeah, well, I think that they're not going to get there. If I mean, the starting pitching isn't going to be that bad. There's no way it can be that bad. Who would have predicted it to be this poor through the first 4 games? But, yeah, I mean, Sale is a concern, at least, well, that first start. I mean, the 7 runs over 3 innings, including 3 home runs. Yeah, and I mean, that you could argue that was the worst of the bunch, and that's really saying something considering these first 4 games.
No, I completely agree with you, but Chris Sale's pedigree has not been to start the way he has. It's been, this
yeah, right. You're absolutely right, Tom. He usually gets lights out, and then there's something, and they kind of, I wouldn't say baby him is the right term, but they're cautious with him. Cautious would be the right term, I guess, which is understandable considering his nature and what we've seen the past couple of seasons, certainly last season, of the tendency to break down a little bit and then ramp him back up later in the season and for the postseason.
I completely agree, and I'll leave you with this. I know there's people waiting, and I'm not going to take up everyone's time, but last year he pitched, I think, 56 innings less than he's ever had. He had the same problems, and now he had five. You know, we used to have these guys pitching early in the spring. He didn't pitch until 5 weeks into spring training. He had 2 starts. He's had 5 months off, and the velocity has not get back. So I understand the John Lester, we lowballed him. We let Chris Sale go. I get it.
Yeah, well, that was the clear reason, right.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
But what do we do with a guy? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish up.
My last thing is, what do we do with a guy that is no longer consistent 96-97 and can't get his slider and his breaking ball off the plate?
Yeah, well, that's troubling if that continues. If Chris Sale struggles and scuffles throughout the whole season, they're not winning the division. And I don't even know if they get into the postseason. Thanks for the call, Tom. And, John, I don't have Twitter up. I've got to put it up. But Evan Drellick was tweeting out some breaking news, potentially.
Yes, he tweeted that the Red Sox and shortstop Xander Bogaerts are nearing a contract extension.
That's our producer back there, John Anderson. So that's interesting. I was going to get into some of that. I wonder what the numbers will be on that, considering this offseason. And it's been interesting in baseball because I think the players and the agents have kind of figured it out. It used to be, I mean, these guys are signing these big-term extensions. Of course, there might be a strike again coming up here in 2021. But these guys are signing these big extensions because these teams aren't paying out. It used to be, all right, let's use up all the service time and I'll get my payday after age 30. You know, that's the way it used to be. And not too long ago, that was the case. I mean, there's still guys that continue to get big contracts. Houston just signed Verlander, who's in his mid-33, I believe, or 34 now, to a two-year extension for big money. But for the most part, you know, 30-year-old guys or guys in early to mid-30s, they're not seeing those 3-4-year contracts anymore like they used to in Major League Baseball. That's why a lot of these players have figured out they're agreeing on these long-term deals like Alex Bregman did. I mean, Bogaerts in an extension, I wonder if there's a discount there. Now, Porcello said, and we saw that article up from Rob Bradford on WEI.com about Porcello willing to take a hometown discount. He's up after the season, and it seemed like the Red Sox really didn't want to explore that. After signing Eovaldi to the extension, Chris Sale, and now, according to Evan Drellick on Twitter, who works here at WEI as well, Bogaerts nearing an extension. It's interesting. I wasn't able, you know, normally now, with this new setup in the studio, this is where Will Fleming sits. So I kind of just jump right in to the same seat, but I haven't put any of the computer stuff up yet. I got to do that during the breaks, including Twitter. So I've just been, it's, you know, the exchange of things. Anyway, first world problems. All right. 617-779-7937. Here's Paul in Milford. Hey, Paul.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I really agree with a lot of what the last caller, Tom, was saying. I've been talking to fellow Sox fans and friends, and a lot of them are just kind of like still drunk on the World Series, and I don't think they're really seeing things, you know, in reality here. But I'm really concerned about a lot of these contracts and extensions, and why would they re-sign Chris Sale after last season? Why wouldn't they just wait and see how good he was this year?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point from you, Paul, and I thought the same thing, too, although I didn't express it on the air, but when it happened, I thought that. I mean, it's easy to say now after that terrible start. And, I mean, when he's going well, he's a badass out there on the mound. And, you know, I mean, I didn't have a huge problem with it, but I did. I was kind of like a wait and see, especially after some of the injuries and issues. And everyone keeps talking about his frail nature. Go ahead, Paul. I keep interrupting.
Sorry. No, that's fine. I think a lot of people look at the strikeouts with Chris Sale, and they kind of like they're enamored by that. Wow, look at that. He's going to get 200 strikeouts, or wow, he might get 10, 12 strikeouts in a game. And I feel like it's the most overrated stat for a starting pitcher in this day and age when we're worried about the pitch count, you know, the pitch count. And he just eats up his pitch count trying to get, I'm not saying he's trying to get 12 strikeouts, but I'm saying the style of pitcher that he is, he's trying to dominate and strike out. He's not a contact, you know, contact pitcher. And you know, a strikeout, I don't see him getting much over 150 innings per season these 4 years that we're stuck with him, and I just don't think it's worth the money. That's
yeah,
my 2 cents.
No, I hear you, Paul. Thanks. I mean,
yeah.
In terms of innings pitched, I'd have to look it up last year. Of course, he was on the DL, or they kind of kept him away for a little bit last season. But, yeah, I mean, they're still going to need – I'm not breaking any baseball news here, but they're going to need solid starting pitching if they're going to want to get into the postseason. And Alex Cora believes that this is a playoff team. I believe that it is a playoff team. It should be a playoff team. I mean, reigning World Series champions. You know, heading into the season, it's so tough to repeat. I believe it was Houston that was the out in Vegas, the odds-on favorite to win, around 6-1, and then I think the Red Sox were next, around 7-1, if I can remember correctly. But you know, it's one of the toughest sports to repeat in terms of the length of season and everything else. All right, John Ryder with you, Red Sox Review, up against a break, 617-779-7937. Got room for you on the phone lines to complain or maybe have a positive take on the Red Sox. The bright spots is J.D. Martinez so far has looked great. Betts has been okay, and those guys should be terrific. Of course, the Betts contract conversation is going to continue through the season, and I wonder Bogarts would have to look at the numbers. Of course, we're just getting this news now that the Red Sox are nearing a contract extension with Xander Bogarts, and I'm all for it. I mean, there's a lot of decisions to make with this team, especially J.D. Martinez after he opts out after. If he opts out after the season, which I would expect him to do, that's a guy I'd like to see him pay because, I mean, have him slotted there in the DH spot for a number of different years. Of course, he was out there in left field, but for the most part, he's a DH. I mean, I would feel like he'd be one of the top priorities here. Would you put J.D. Martinez ahead of Mookie Betts in terms of priorities? Probably most wouldn't do that. Of course, you've got Betts under control for another season, and he'll probably be making making $20 million this year. He'll probably be making, through arbitration, if he has another solid season, $25 million next year. Obviously, he's not going to sign that long-term extension. He's going to wait to hit free agency, unlike Mike Trout and so many others, Nolan Arenado, and the list goes on and on so far this offseason. All right, 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. It's John Ryder with the Red Sox Review. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll continue with the Red Sox conversation, but get into some Celtics talk as well, and Bruins and Patriots. How about the Patriots offseason so far? It's going to end eventually with the Patriots. It's only been 20 years. All right, we'll continue here. Up against a break in room for you on the phone lines here on this Sunday night after Red Sox 10-8 loss to the Mariners. And we'll continue after this here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Not good baseball. We didn't get in from the starters, and that's hard to do. The only positive out of the whole weekend is the bullpen. They did an outstanding job, but I think although offensively we scored runs, we left a lot of people out there. Defensively, we didn't play well, and we have to move on.
Yeah, they have to move on. They're moving on to Oakland as they continue this West Coast trip. That's Alex Cora. We'll hear more from him before we make our way out of here at 10 o'clock. But some breaking news after the Red Sox 10-8 loss to the Mariners today. And he was referencing the starting pitching as they've allowed the starters. And they've given up 34 runs, at least the staff, the Red Sox as a team, have given up 34 runs in 4 games to the Mariners. As far as the starters have gone, they've allowed 22 earned runs over 15 innings. That amounts to a 13.20 ERA. The most harrowing, I mean, they were all awful, but I think the biggest surprise is really in terms of the starting pitching through the first 4 games, to me, that stands out was the opener with Sale and today with Porcello. I expected Porcello to have a solid outing here today, and that wasn't the case, clearing the 7-run third. But the big news really coming in and the breaking news is that Xander Bogarts, according to multiple reports, our own Rob Bradford has an article up on WEI.com, and WEI's Evan Drellick was the first to break this, that the Red Sox, close to an extension with Xander Bogarts, that could be very well announced, as Rob Bradford writes on WEI.com, could be announced on Monday. Heard differing reports in terms of the length. Some are saying 6 years. Jeff Passan of ESPN is saying 7 years, 132. So that would be amount to about $18 million a season. for Bogarts, who's 26. He would have been eligible for free agency after this season. He was one of the question marks after this season, and that question is now answered, according to multiple reports, and it might be announced tomorrow. So I don't have a problem with that for Bogarts. 7 years, $18 million for him over 7 years, solid shortstop. Had his best power season last year at a home run in the opener. I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. He's contracts. It is crazy though in baseball. I mean, they continue to talk about problems in the game, and there are definitely problems. We saw that in the ninth with Cody Guerin, who was screaming out for there to be. I think he was about 10 seconds in between pitches there as he was trying to close it out for Seattle, and that didn't happen. Although the Red Sox still fall short, but I mean these deals that have been going around. I mean, when you think about, you know, the Goldschmidt deal with St. Louis seems like almost a bargain. Arenado, 260. So obviously, and he plays third base, but they were kind of looking at that deal. Arenado, I think, is a better player than Bogarts. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of the headlines because he's hidden out there in Colorado. But I have no problem with that signing. That was another question mark heading in to the offseason. So Bogarts, how do you feel about that? For it or against it in terms of the Bogarts deal? And that's just breaking news coming in here in the past 10, 15 minutes. Xander Bogarts and the Red Sox agreeing on an extension. So 7 years, if it's Jeff Passan's correct of ESPN, 7 years, $132, so $18 million a year for Bogarts. Of course, you wonder how much how much fear is the Red Sox losing Mookie Betts? I mean, is that a big part of it? I mean, you feel like, I still feel like J.D. Martinez, I mean, the Red Sox, his middle of the order presence and just his work ethic, and also considering he's a DH, that's a guy that they'll have to re-sign. And they'll probably likely opt out after this 2019 season. He's off to another tremendous start this season. And would you, if you were the Red Sox, say in the offseason, I know this might sound crazy, or even next season for that matter, but it's much easier to make deals in the offseason than during the season. Would you, I mean, crazy enough to think this, would you deal Mookie Betts? Would you make that trade? Would you do it if you feared that, all right, I don't want to sign Mookie Betts to a, you know, a 10-year, $400 million deal? And would that even get it done? Would that get it done? $40 million a season for Mookie Betts, and would you do it? I mean, he's in the prime of his career, and according to all the analytics out there now, the age 27 is the prime age for a baseball player. That's according to all these analytics and studies I've read as well. 27, they're saying now, is the age, the prime age for a baseball player. With a guy that size, you'd have to be worried about him breaking down. I mean, that's the concern. We saw it with Dustin Pedroia. We've seen it here, you know, with a lingering knee issue with him. You know, I'm sure there'll be a team out there. There'll be plenty of teams that will be vying for Mookie Betts here after a couple of years. But right now is the time for the Red Sox to make hay in terms of this team. And I know off to the 1-3 start, but really I would expect this team to be a playoff team. I mean, it would be fascinating, and I talked about this earlier, the way I could see the Red Sox potentially not getting into the postseason. And it's going to take 100 or more wins to win this division, like it did last year. I mean, that's just going to be the case this season. I think it's the toughest division. And I'd say, you know, it's kind of crazy, the National League, because you got, you know, the National League East, I think, is up for grabs. Most would say the Phillies are the favorite. The Central is interesting because you got Milwaukee. And what an opening week for Christian Yelich, by the way. Cubs, I think, will have a bounce-back season this year. You've always got the Cardinals in the mix as well. I know you probably don't want to spend a ton of time talking about the National League, but I think the American League East is what I'm saying is the toughest division. I mean, with the Rays, who are always overachieving, and obviously the Yankees there, and there's, you know, some issues with that Yankees team as well, some question marks. Bullpen isn't a concern with them. CC Sabathia's been doing with mirrors. He's going to retire after this season. Tanaka pitched well in the opener for them. They got rid of Sonny Gray. They still have Jay Happ. Still should be, I said the variable in terms of the Red Sox, to me, not making the postseason was to be, I mean, if they have to win more, they have to win at least 95 games, I think, even be a wild card team. They have to. I think, with the Rays right there. And Rays, will they have a down year after having an overachieving year? I still expect them to have a very good season. They also made a big they've signed a couple of their younger players. I mean, that Blake Snell deal looks like a real bargain right now, that they recently signed him to that contract extension. And he's a true ace. Of course, he's the reigning Cy Young Award winner. But I guess the variable would be if Minnesota, I mean, the Central is awful. So say Minnesota eats up on some of those teams, the White Sox, the Royals, you know, those dregs of the AL Central, and eclipses, you know, somehow gets in that area of 90-some-odd wins, or, you know, mid-90s, and Cleveland ends up getting 100 wins this season, and you know Houston's going to make it out of the AL West, or the Red Sox on the outside looking in. Is it, if that ends up being the case, I don't see it. I think at the very least the Red Sox end up being a wild card team. So big news of the day is Xander Bogaerts agreeing to the extension. You can give us a call about that, 617-779-7937. And this dreadful starting pitching. I mean, if someone told me that the starters would give up, 22 earned runs over 15 innings in four games, I'd say you're crazy. I think most would. I mean, that's rough to do. That's rough to do for a terrible staff like the White Sox, although their starter today, Giolito, almost pitched a no-hitter. But some of these teams, these bottom feeder teams out there, you would say that's tough to do, give up 22 earned runs over 15 innings. Well, Alex Spear tweeted out, I mean, they're the first team to do that since 2006. They have four straight starts of giving up five or more runs to start the season. All right, up against the top of the hour, room for you on this Sunday night Red Sox review at 617-779-7937. You can text us. We'll get to some of those. 37937 is John Ryder with you. Another hour to go here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.